Okay, today we're finally getting back to some halachic stuff, away from the agarata, which is just as interesting. Okay, matznitim. We're going to start with the Mishnah on Yubet Amubet. Avru Eila Velo Na'anu. So until now we had the Taniyot Tzibur, the first set, right? And we said they were, you start fasting in the morning, and they're not so severe in terms of the strength of the fast. Avru Eila Velo Na'anu. But if those three fasts pass, and you still aren't answered, remember that starts in Yudzayim Mar Cheshvan. Beitin Gozrim Gimel Ta'aniyot Acherot Ha'atzibur. So the Beitin now says, we have to add another three fasts. Ochlim v'shotim mi'ba'od yom. You eat and drink only from before sunset, meaning the fast starts at night. Va'asurim b'melachah b'richitzah v'sichah v'nilat ha'sandala b'tashmish ha'mitah. Just like the severe fast, Tisha B'av Yom Kippur, you're forbidden in. Now here they're at, I mean also, right, there's an isur melacha. You're not allowed to work. Okay, not isur melacha like Shabbat, but you're not allowed to work. There are asur b'richitza, washing, sicha, putting on creams, ointments, ni'ilat ha'sandal, wearing leather shoes, u'b'tashmish ha'mitah, having sexual relations. Ve'no'alin et ha'merchatzaot. And not only that, but they lock up the bathhouses so that nobody would go in. We're going to see things that they try to infer from the fact that they add this line here. Avru eila velona anu, beitin gozrina lehen od sheva, shem shlosh esrei taniyot ala tzibur. Now what if those pass and they're not answered still? So now we have the first set of fasts where they're a light fast. Then we have a second set of fasts where they're more severe fasts. Now, what more can we do, right? So if those pass and we still don't have rain, what do? They add another seven fasts, okay? Now instead of three, each section they added three more. Now they're going to add seven more fasts. Shehen yugimel ta'aniyot ala tzibur. Sachakol, they're going to have 13 ta'aniyot on the tzibur. Hare elu, now in what way are these fasts different from the first slew and the second slew? Hare elu yiterot ala rishonot. Really, they mean not the rishonot, but the emtsayot. Shebe elu matri'in v'no'alin et hachanuyot. Okay, they. I guess I'm trying to. I think matri'in is not translated here as one second.
It's translated as cry out.
Right. So, what does it mean? They cry out.
That it doesn't blow the shofar.
Right. I would have assumed it was blowing the shofar, but I kind of remember seeing some other explanation
also
there.
Reciting Aneinu.
Uh-huh, reciting Aneinu, but they recite Aneinu before also.
In the morning.
In
the morning. In the sleep
hold. Ah, right. Okay. Sorry. It says the Gemara's get right. The Gemara gets to it. I knew there was a diyun on it. Fine. So we'll get to exactly what this matriyan is in the Gemara. At the pshat, I would have assumed would mean they blow the shofar. Okay. But we'll see that not necessarily. V'no'alin et hachanuyot, and they close the stores. Okay. Not just that people can't work, and not just they close the merchatzaot, but now they close the stores. B'sheni matinim chashecha u'b'chamishi mutarim mipnei kvod haShabbat. When it comes out on a Monday, they close them. They open them a little bit toward dark, so that people can buy some food. In other words, as it's getting dark, they open the stores so that people can buy something to break their fast with. U'b'chamishi, they're allowed to have the stores open so that people can buy food for Shabbat. Avru elu v'lo na'anu. Now, what do? You've done 13 fasts at this point, and there's still no rain. What do? Mima'atim b'masa u'matan, b'binyan u'b'nitiya, b'erusin u'b'nisuin, u'b'sheilat shalom ben adam l'chavero, k'b'nei adam ha'nizufin l'makom, l'makom. Okay, so what do you say? You start now, you really go to a, right, everyone's in a really bad state. You lessen the amount of business dealings you do, planting, building, marriage, sheilat shalom yish l'chavero, like people shouldn't greet themselves so well, right? This sounds like Tisha B'Av when you're not allowed to say hello to people. You're really in a state of avelut. This goes, we saw also when there's a ra'av, which would be this kind of situation we talked about, the Gemara had added about the not having tashmish ha'mitah, and we saw the psak and the Rambam to that extent. Okay. So basically, one second. Right, kibnei adam nizufin lamakom. Right, lamakom. It's saying it's like people who have been rejected by God, basically. It's, you should be in a real state of depression. Right, it's interesting. We've seen avelut. We've seen, right, this is really saying you should feel totally rejected by God, which you don't often see that kind of a statement very often. But they're saying if the situation has gotten so bad that the people have actually fasted, 13 fasts, and they've done everything they possibly can, and God still isn't answering them, basically everything should kind of shut down. Chozrinu mitanin ad sheyetzei nisan. So then you should continue to fast until Nisan is over. Okay? So now, right, the note here says that it really should mean until this rain season is over, not necessarily the month of Nisan starts, but when the winter basically ends. Okay. So now, Yatsa Nisan v'yardu geshamim. What if, okay, now why do you only fast until Nisan? Because at that point we don't want rain anymore. Even if there's a drought, we don't want rain because it's a siman klala. Now what if then, after this whole drought happens, and then it rains after Nisan, again, after the tkufa of Nisan, it's a siman klala. Shanei amara lo ktsir piti mayom. And then we see from Shmuel, and they asked for the king, and they didn't get the king. Right? They got the king, but God showed them that rain was coming in the wrong time as a siman that they asked improperly. So then, if that happens, you realize this is a real serious curse. And then you've gotten to the worst level. The worst level is drought, 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 drought. End of Nisan, end of the Tkufa. It's not supposed to rain anymore, and then it rains. Okay. Bishlama, so now we're going to get into the details. Mostly we're going to start with the beginning of this Mishnah. These first three taniyot, which are really the second three, right? We have three sections. There's the first three, the second three, and then the seven. And then, you know, there's after that. So Bishlama Kulu Itbu Tanug. We understand this list of Richitza, Sicha, Tashbisha Mitah, Nilata Sandal, right? All those things are pleasurable activities that we want to refrain from. But Ava Malacha Tsa'ahu, but to say you're not allowed to work, working is unpleasant, right? That's almost like a bracha. Oh wow, I don't have to go to work today. How great. Okay, so why is that listed here? Amrav Chista, Amrav Yomiya Ba'aba Abakra. He says, we learn it from the Pasuk. Kachu tzom, kiru atzara, asfuz kini. So now he's going to darshan this Pasuk one way, and then we're going to see that someone else says in his name a different way. What does he say? It's a Pasuk from Yoel. It means, make a fast, right? Kachu tzom, kiru atzara, call an atzara, and gather this kini. So what do they learn from the word atzara? Just like atzeret, they're talking about like the chag atzeret, okay? Which is both Shmini atzeret is called that and Shavuot is called atzeret. So just like those are asur basiyat melacha, likewise the tanit zibor is asur basiyat melacha. So now we say, but that's a problem because the isur melacha that they're talking about is an isur melacha during the day, not at night. So they say, if you're going to learn it from atzeret, then what should you say? Then the fast, then the Isur Melacha should start in the nighttime. Just like the Isur Melacha starts in the nighttime on a holiday, it should also start in the nighttime on a fast. But this Isur Melacha is only a daytime one, so that's not what it couldn't be learned from there. What they're trying to say is it's not that type of Isur Melacha, right? It's a different type of Isur Melacha, and it must be connected to something else. Amar Rabbi Zera, l'didi mefar shalei minei de Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. I heard that Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said something different. In other words, first Rav Chista said this in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. He's going to learn it from that pasuk. Now he says, no. I heard that he learned it from the last part of the pasuk. What's the end of the pasuk? Amar kra isfuz kenim. Du miyad asefat zkenim. Zkenim. Ma asefat zkenim biyom. Aftsom nami biyom. Do you mind opening those windows? Okay. So what does it say here? Asfuz kenim, gather this kenim. When did they gather the people together on a fast? During the day, right? And when they gathered the people, so what do they say? So the isur malacha is like the gathering of those kenim. Just like we gather this kenim during the day, likewise, we're going to do isur malacha during the day. Aftsom nami biyom. When did this kinyan get together? In the afternoon then. Maybe you should say, only from the afternoon it's asur b'melacha. Amar Rav Shisha b'Reid Rav Idi. Now they're going to have this discussion about when would the kinyan get together. Now what's the idea of this kinyan getting together? It's really to do tefillah for the fast. So when did they gather for tefillah and the fast, right? What would you assume? You'd assume in the morning, like we do davening in the morning. But first they assume that this kinyanim were gathering in the afternoon. And they say, Am Rav Shisha, B'reid Rav Idi, Mistayele, L'Rav Huna, this dafka supports the fact that we learn it from Asafat Zkenim. And the Yishtur Melacha starts in the morning. It supports the statement of Rav Huna, who said that Mitzafra Kinufya, that in the morning they got together, to the Zkenim and the community to pray. So now they're going to say, Hechiyavde. So what do they do? And that's, well, when do they gather together and when do they do other things? What do their fast days look like? Am Rabbi. Mitzafra aplaga diyoma ma'ainim b'mili demata. Okay, from the morning till half day, they would deal with city stuff. Okay, things that had to do with the city. One second. Okay, right. I'm just remembering. They said it was like things that had to do with how people are right. According to this, Abai is saying that they. In the morning, they had to deal with what's going on. Before they start praying, you have to fix what's messed up. So they start going around the city and seeing which things, where there's improper behavior maybe, or things that aren't going right. So they go around the city trying to fix things up. Then, mikam ve'elach, riva diyoma krina b'safra v'aftarta. So then, that's the first half. Half a day, they're just going around the city. The second half of the day, the first quarter of the second half of the day, right? The second half of the day, we're now going to divide into quarters. The first quarter, they read Sefer Torah and Haftorah. Okay, they read sections from the Torah. Mikam ve'elach be'inam rachamei. And then the last quarter, they're asking for rachamim. Shene'emar v'yakumu alem dam v'yikru'u b'sifrei Torah t'Hashem elokehem. Revi'it hayom, revi'it mitvadim u'mishtachavim l'Hashem elokehem. So what does it say there? Okay, it's a pasuk from Ezra or Nehemiah. Let me check, I forget, because we're going to quote two psukim, one from Ezra, one from Nehemiah. Right, this one's from Nehemiah. In Nehemiah and Ezra's time, or in both Sfarim, they had these fast days to fix up problems that they had, some with the non-Jewish women that they had all married. So what does it say? They got up, they read from the Sefer Torah for a quarter of the day, and for a quarter of the day, they were mitvadim mishachavim l'Hashem. So what do they say here? From here we see that they were doing this for a quarter of the day this, a quarter of the day that. Anyway, the assumption of Abaye is that the morning they used for taking care of the city stuff, and for the afternoon they would gather together. So this goes against the statement of Rav Huna, who said it's mitzvah for Kenufia, right? In other words, we had this disagreement whether it's in the morning they got together or the afternoon. So now they say, Rabbi, ipuch ana. Maybe we could say the opposite. The dafka, this pasuk doesn't prove anything. What does this pasuk prove? It proves that a quarter of the day they spent reading the Torah and Haftorah, and a quarter of the day they asked for rachamim, right? But it doesn't prove whether it was morning or afternoon. So they say, how do you know that the morning they dealt with the city issues and in the afternoon they did this? Maybe they started with praying in the morning. So they say, lo salkadatach. No, it doesn't seem that that would be the case. By the way, there's sheets here if you want to organize the page. Lo salkadatach dichtiv. Okay, here's a pasuk from Ezra. Ve'elai ye'asfu kol chare b'divrei Elohei Yisrael amal hagola v'ani yoshev mishomem ad l'minchat ha'erev. Okay, so he says, everyone should gather to me on the Ma'al HaGolah, the bad things that have gone on that the, they did in the Golah. And I'm going to sit until Minchat HaErev. U'b'minchat HaErev kamti mita'aniti. Okay? And during time of Mincha, I got up from my fast. U'b'kor'i b'gdi u'mi'ili ve'echra'a u'b'rki ve'efrasa kapaya l'Hashem Elokai. When does he go pray? L'minchat HaErev. So you see from this pasuk that dafka in the late afternoon, that's when he went to go pray. So here's our proof that dafka they prayed late in the day. Amar farim baruch pa'at. I'm sorry. So wait. It's the opposite of what I said. Abaye is dafka proving that the zakenim got together, right? This would say, the question is, what does it mean the zakenim got together? Right. That's a good question. May we look in the city, I guess this would be right. This would be against, I think it is. Because really, when they talk about that they're getting together, they're really talking about that they're getting together to pray. And the Asfuz Kenim is to get together to pray. So according to this interpretation, it would go against what Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi said, that, right, was it him? Or, right, he said it's Mesayale L'Rapuna, but it said it before, right, Rabbi Zera. No, it's him, right? So he would say that it, right, Rav Shisha Bered, Rav Idi said that it happened in the morning, and Abaye seems to say that they got together to pray in the afternoon. So this is difference of opinion about what the order of the day should be. Should you start with praying, or should you start, it actually makes a lot more sense, first fix everything up, and then start praying. Okay. Now we're going to get into, from now, okay, this is really why I organized the page, because there's a lot of things going on here. Oh, let's see, my page got stuck. Printing, I don't know, hopefully the other printed ones came out better. Okay, what we're going to have now is we're going to have this statement of Rav Chisda. Okay, we're going to have a distinction between, Rav Chisda has this statement about distinguishing between Tisha B'Av and an Avel, because Tisha B'Av is really, we're supposed to be an Avelut, versus Ta'aniyot Tzibur, and whether you're allowed to shower. We're not allowed to shower on these days. Can you shower only with cold water? Can you not shower even with cold water? How does it work? He makes this distinction. We're going to have a whole bunch of... They're going to try to bring chizukim to what he says. Then we're going to have Rava, who gives a different opinion. Then we're going to have a different Yirsa of Rava, where his opinion actually matches Rav Chisda. Okay, we're going to have a long diyun all about, can you do rechitza in cold water? When they talk about the isur rechitza, is it Isur V'chitza Bichlal, or does it mean Isur V'chitza with just hot water?
Does this apply back to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur also, or are these just for this kind of fast?
No, so they're distinguished between Tisha B'Av and an Avelut versus these Taniyot Tzibur. So you're going to see that the Taniyot Tzibur are a little different from Tisha B'Av. Okay, so they're talking about Tisha B'Av. So it does relate to Tisha B'Av. They don't talk about Yom Kippur. Oh, they do actually, at some point, they talk about Yom Kippur, but the assumption is Yom Kippur would go with Tisha B'Av, although Yom Kippur isn't really Avelut. So it's a good question where Yom Kippur falls. They don't really discuss Yom Kippur here directly. Amar Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda Bar Papa says in the name of Rav Chisda, Kol Shehu Mishum Avel, Kigon Tisha B'Av Ve'Avel. Okay, anything that's Mishum Avelut, like Tisha B'Av and an Avel, Asur Bein B'Chamin Bein B'Tzonein. Hot water, cold water, it doesn't matter. וכל שהוא משום תענוג, כגון תענית ציבור, בחמין אסור בצוני מותר. There's a difference between having to be in avelut versus just trying to refrain from pleasurable activities. And as we started this sugya saying, I understand these, they're ta'anug. What about working? Working isn't ta'anug. And then they said working is a different issue. But now they're going back to this issue that for the Taniyot Tzibur, we want to refrain from pleasurable activities. What's a pleasurable activity? A hot shower. A cold shower is not necessarily a pleasurable activity. It's just to get you clean. So when it comes to the fast, and we're talking about the issue is ta'anug, so we're going to say that cold water is fine. But when we're talking about Avelut, then, and Tisha B'Av, that's already on a higher level. And then we're going to say, so all of a sudden, until now, we haven't really had a distinction. We kind of said these fast days were just like Tisha B'Av. Now we're saying there's a little distinction, which is that showering with cold water is asur on Tisha B'Av and for someone in Avelut. So now we're going to have a whole diyun about this. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin. Af ana nami tanina. We can prove this from the words in the Mishnah. Because what does it say? V'no'alin et ha-merchatzaot. And what is the merchatzaot? Right? Amar le'abaye. The merchatzaot is hot water baths, right? So what do you see here? Only hot water baths are forbidden, but cold water baths would be permitted. And that's why they close the merchatzaot, because there's hot water, but if it were cold water, it would be fine. Amar le Abaye, but now Abaye has a question on this proof. V'i b'tzonein asur, why are you assuming just because they close the merchatzaot doesn't mean only hot water, right? That's what he wants to say. He's saying, it says no alimut merchatzaot to say only hot water is forbidden, right? But how would you word it otherwise? If you wanted to say, if you wanted to use that line to prove what kind of water was forbidden, what would you say? He said, socharin et ha'na'arot mebaileh. What? You would have said, we have to dam up every single body of water, right? Obviously, you can't do that. You can't cover all the streams that are outside. The merchatzaot is a place where people bathe and you can actually close the door. But there is no other place where there's cold water that you can close the door to. Right? You can't possibly dam up every single nahar. So he's saying it doesn't make sense to infer from there which types of water are forbidden. That's just a statement saying, technically speaking, they closed up the merchatzot.
Why not? That's where you have not hot water. You don't have hot water in the rivers. You don't.
That's what he's saying. So since they, but then what? Then you should close up all the rivers.
Why? That's
cold water.
No, he's trying to prove. Okay, let's go like this. Rav Papa tried to say only hot water is forbidden, and then I'm sorry, Rafarim Rav Papa and then Rav Chista. And then we're trying to be mechazek, Divrei Rav Chista, I wrote by mistake, Rav Papa. Divrei Rav Chista, we're trying to be mechazek and say, you see, no, alimit merchatzot, what do you see here? That only hot water is forbidden, and that's why they close the merchatzot. But now they're saying, no. They close the merchatzot because any kind of bathing is forbidden. Now, while it's true there was only hot water in the merchatzot, that was the only thing they could close. If you want to say that from here we can prove about cold water, right? And then what do you say? If cold water was forbidden, it should have said we close all the naharot, we dam them up. There's no possible way to do that. So just because it said they close the merchatzot doesn't mean only hot water, because you can't close up all the rivers. So it doesn't. There's no alternative option. They're saying they chose this instead of something else, but there is no anything else you could have said.
The distinction isn't the hot water. The distinction is that you can lock them.
Is right, exactly. And that's why it would work. Okay? So now, Amar Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi. Aba hachi kashile. So now he's saying, no, I can answer this. I can answer up Abaye's question. Michti tnan atzur berichitza. Then you should have just said, if you wanted to say cold water, you should have just said rechitza and listed it and period. But the fact that they added no alimit merchatzot lamali, what do you need to add those words for? You don't really need, maybe they locked them, but you didn't need to say it in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't need to have listed it. The fact that the Mishnah lists it comes to teach us that, okay? So elalav shmamina b'chamina sur b'tzoneh mutar. So he, in the end, answers up Abaye's question and says, it's not that they could have said something else instead, they could have just deleted it from the Mishnah. It didn't have to be mentioned there. And the fact that they mention it comes to show what type of rechitzah is asur, the rechitzah that they did in the Bartei Merchatzot, in the bathhouses. And therefore, he says, we can use this as a support. Okay, now they want to bring another support. Leva Misayele, Kol Chayave Tfilo Tovlin Kedarkan, Bein B'Tisha B'Av, Bein B'Yom HaKippurim. So now, what do we learn here? And here Yom Kippur comes up. If you have to go to the mikvah on Tisha B'Av night or on Yom Kippur night, you're allowed to go to the mikvah. Okay? Kol Chayave Tfilo Tovlin Kedarkan. Now they say, B'mai. In what type of water do you think they're dipping in? Ilema B'Chamin, Tfila B'Chamin Mi'ika. Right? Could it be there isn't even such a thing as tefillah b'chamim? Right? We're spoiled. We have heated mikvahs. They didn't have heated mikvahs. Shuvim ninu. In other words, there's no such thing as heated mikvahs in those days. Right? Because it's all just from rainwater. Elalav bitzonein. It must be bitzonein. And then what do you learn? Okay. What do you learn from here? B'chayave tefillot in ishachrin alo. Why is it telling you the chayavei tefillot tovlin kedarkan? What's it trying to teach you? Only if you have to go to the mikveh are you allowed to do rechitza, but not for any other reason. What do we imply from here? It's talking about Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av, and likewise it would be an avel, right? You would say, and even though an avel doesn't go to the mikveh, but it's in the same category. What do you see from here? They can go to a mikveh. Now, what was the mikveh? We assume a mikveh is tzonein, right? So only if you have to go to the mikveh you can go in cold water. Seeming to imply that you can't go if it's cold water. So what do you see from here? The first proof was to prove the taniot tzibur, you're allowed in cold water. No, alimitam merchatzot, only the hot water is forbidden. The second proof is now to prove the first part of his statement about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you can't go even in cold water, unless, of course, you have to go to the mikvah. Okay? So that's the only reason, and since the mikvah is tzonein, it must be only to go to the mikvah you're allowed, but otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to go. Okay? And therefore, he proves now that the part of his statement that relates to Tisha B'Av.
Men who are tamei going to the mikvah, or are they referring?
They're referring to women, actually.
Only women.
I think they're referring only to women in the statement.
Just a general question.
Yeah, Rashi says, Nida v'yoleda tovlin kedarkan.
Why should a Nida need to go dafka night? Why not push it off a night if you can't have marital?
Right, so there's an issue of tefillah b'zman ha-mitzvah, and therefore you go. I actually can't remember. I'm trying to remember if we paskin halacha lamasa. I think you don't, right?
Yeah.
Right. I was actually. I started thinking about it that I didn't think that we go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but according to the Mishnah, you can halacha lamasa. You don't. Okay.
We don't tell them.
Right. So it's interesting. I should have looked it up. It would have been a good thing to look up, but I don't remember the development there. Why there's a, I don't know, is it a Mishnah or Brita? I don't know. But anyway.
The only two nights of the year the Mishnah are closed.
Right. Let me see if there's something talks about it here. I just don't remember the halacha, like how it developed. Right. In other words, this comes from the issue of tefillah b'zman mitzvah, but ledad hari, here it is, from Tosfot and Beitza. Asur b'yamenu l'nidah yoledet l'tbol b'tisha b'av o b'yom ha-kippurim. Because, that's why. It's the difference between in those days, I forgot, right, obviously. Those days, you went to the mikvah also for dinei tumah v'taharah. Right? Again, the Brita, okay, is maybe after the Korban Abayah, but apparently, you know, there was that crossover. Right. So the truth is, Rashi says it's not. Rashi specifically talks about women, but I think in those days it was probably everybody.
They were going to mikvah.
Yeah, I assume it related to everybody then. And the point being that they went because of the dinei tumah v'taharah, so that they wouldn't be messed other things up, and that's why they would go to the mikvah even on those nights. But nowadays, that we don't even have to worry about that issue. We basically, and the only issue is Tashmish HaMitah, and then it's obviously not relevant because it's Asur, so then there's no reason and we push it off till the next day.
Didn't the Kohen Gadol go to the mikvah?
He for sure goes to the mikvah in Yom Kippur. Right. Right. You could make a distinction maybe Kohen Gadol because it's Litzorach Hayom. But, right, as opposed to if I'm sitting out in the middle of nowhere and I'm not going to the Beit HaMikdash, so what's the big deal about Tumah Taharah? But even so, when the Beit HaMikdash is around, the Tumah Taharah is important to...
Why they're allowed to wear shatnez and we're not.
Right, exactly. There's certain things there that override.
It's higher up.
Right.
Right. There's other issues. In other words, also, just like you can shecht a korban, and you can, you know, you can light a fire. You can do so many things in the Mikdash for the purpose of the Mikdash. So he had to be pure. He had to go to the mikvah. It also says so in the Torah. Anyway, okay, so what do we have here? We have a proof that if you're on Tisha B'Av, okay, and therefore Avelut also, you're not allowed to be rochet in cold water unless you have to go to the mikvah. That would be the only reason why. So now they want to explain that you don't necessarily have to prove it that. You don't necessarily have to read that source and prove that way. What can you say? Amar Rav Chana Bar Katina, lo nitzricha ela l'chamei Tveria. Maybe he was talking about if you go in the mikvah in Chamei Tveria, in the hot springs of Tveria. There you're allowed to, and then the point is, on Tisha B'Av, you can't go in Chamei Tveria for pleasure, but you could go there in the mikvah. So then they say, no, that can't possibly be. Why? Ihachi ema seifa, the seifa of that Breita, or Mishnah, again, I didn't check if it's a Mishnah or Breita, says, Amar Rav Chanina Skana Koni, Kedai hu beit Eloheinu la'abed alav tefillah pam achat b'shana. Do you remember we have this Chanina Skana Kohani? We learned a lot of things about the Beit HaMikdash from him in Masechet Yoma. So what does he say? Kedai hu beit Eloheinu la'abed alav tefillah pam achat b'shana. What does that mean? Sometimes you don't do it, right? This means sometimes you don't do a tefillah, right? Ra'oi hu beit Eloheinu that... how did he explain it? That you don't do a tefillah. One second. Right, levatel, right? There's certain times when even for the purposes of the Beit HaMikdash, we don't do a tefillah on a particular day. Okay? So now, why wouldn't we do a tefillah? Because it's a day that we can't be tovel, right? Like Yom HaKippurim or Tisha B'Av. So now what do we say? I amar bitzonein mutar your chatz bitzonein. If, right, what's his issue? He's saying on Yom Kippur, we can be ma'abed tefillot. Like people will be mevatel from doing a tefillah that they really need to do. But he's saying, if there was some way to allow it, like you could take a shower in cold water, then they would allow tefillah in cold water. So what do you see from here? You see that actually you can't do tefillah in cold water. Okay? And therefore, the source about Tovlin would be right. Chayvei tefilot in a shachrini lo. It's according to that he'd be saying. Mutar lechol adam. Right. So clearly, it can't be that everybody else is mutar. In other words, there's a. What's the issue here? There's a machloket between Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim about whether Chayavei Tfilot can go in the mikveh or not. That's what the part I forgot to explain. There's a braita here, right? This braita says, Kol Chayavei Tfilot tovlin kidarkan, and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim says, no, some days we just don't go to the mikveh. He says no. Now, if he says no, that you can't even go to the mikveh, then clearly the assumption is that other people weren't going in sonin. Otherwise, he would allow it in sonin. So what do you see from here? You see that this source, this source would prove, that
wash in cold water.
That you can't wash in cold water. Okay? But then, what does he say?
Only on Tisha B'Av.
Right. I'm sorry. Okay. I lost my train of thought. What was the issue? First, we tried to prove Chayav Eitz V'Lo Tov Lin Kedarkan. Then, Rav Chana Bar Katina said, but maybe it's only Chamei Tveria, and then it would just prove that they can't wash in hot water, but not that they can't wash in cold water, right? And only if you need to go to the mikvah can you go in Chamei Tveria, and it was only referring to hot water. Then they said, no. Clearly, it's referring to cold water because Rav Chanina Sgana Kohanim would give you an opportunity to go to the mikvah in cold water if cold water was allowed. So now, in the end, we see that you can't even go in cold water. And then, but then they say, no, Amar Papa, ba'adra de lo shchech tzonin. You could say that Rav Chanina Sgana Kohanim was talking about a place where there was no cold water. And therefore, you could still say maybe it was referring to hot water. And then you can't really necessarily prove anything from this mikvah case. Okay, so there's a doom back and forth whether you can or not. What? If you right. If there's only hot water, then it's saying you can or you can't go to the mikvah, depending on whether you're Chanina Sgana Kohanim or you're the other opinion. But it doesn't indicate, in other words, then it would indicate that about cold water, it doesn't necessarily prove anything about cold water. Right. You wouldn't really know. Okay. Tashma. Now they're gonna bring another source, okay? And this is gonna be about Rav Chisda when he says Asur l'rchotz b'tzonein on, they're going to bring a difficulty, okay? On this fact that he says you can't be rochetz b'tzonein on Tisha B'Av.
So far, all the sources we've been bringing are just regarding Tisha B'Av. We haven't even touched public fast.
No, so, okay, let's just go through. This is why I organized it here. Actually, I just said the wrong thing because I jumped ahead. No, it's fine. That's why I tried to organize it. Okay, unfortunately, it wasn't as organized in my head yet. First, we brought a chizuk for Rav Papa about the taniyot tzibur, about whether they're mutar b'tzonein, right? And we tried to prove that from the merchatzaot, remember? V'no'alin to merchatzaot, that proved that b'tzonein mutar, because only the merchatzaot are closed. And then we had to deal with whether you could prove this or not. Then we had a chizuk for the Tisha B'Av, right? About this chayavei tfilot. And again, it wasn't clear whether we could actually prove from here or not. There were differences of opinion about how you read that source and whether it was talking about hot water or cold water, and therefore what you prove about other people. Whether other people are allowed in cold water or are storing cold water. Now, we're going to bring...
Tisha B'Av or on other...
On Tisha B'Av. No, just Tisha B'Av. Because he made the distinction, right? Whenever we're bringing a proof for him, we're either bringing a proof for the Tisha B'Av issue or for the Taniyot Tzibur, right? This Tisha B'Av. He says about Tisha B'Av, and he talks about Taniyot Tzibur, right? So Tisha B'Av, he says, Asur B'Tzonein. So the first thing we had was to prove that Mutar B'Tzonein on Taniyot, right? And we tried to bring a proof. And then we sort of rejected it, sort of, right? It wasn't clear. It could go either way. Then we tried to bring a proof about the Tisha B'Av Asur B'Tzonein. And again, whether you prove it from the Chayavei Tfilot or you don't prove from the Chayavei Tfilot, you could go different ways. Now we want to bring a difficulty. We're going back to, well, let me just see. We're going back to the Taniyot Tzibur Shemutar B'Tzonein, and we're going to bring, until now we brought, I'll just chart it out here. We brought a chizuk for each side, right? And then kind of had a diyun whether this really proves it or not. Now we're going to bring a difficulty for the Taniyot. Okay? Now we're going to say, are Taniyot really Mutar B'Tzonein? We have a difficulty with that. What's the difficulty? Amar Papa, Tashma. Tashma always means we're going to bring, let's learn something from somewhere else. Kisha Amru Asur B'Melacha, Lo Amru Ela B'Yom, Aval B'Layla Mutar. When they talked about the Isur Melacha, they only talked about during the day, but not at night. Now there's actually, there's a thing about Tisha B'Av. Can you do work at night on Tisha B'Av? Okay, so Rashi says, it's actually really interesting, this Rashi. Rashi says, I just want you to see it inside for a minute. Shamru asur b'malacha gabei ta'anit zibor lo amru ela b'yom ava b'layla mutar. Mehacha mashma dibleilei tisha b'av mutar b'malacha ve'ein bitul ela b'yom aval ein mefersamim hadavar. Rashi says from here would imply that on Tisha B'Av it's also mutar b'malacha at night. Okay, that you could do work. If you had a job and you wanted to work that night, you'd be allowed to work that night. He says, but we shouldn't publicize this to people. Now, I saw a different opinion. The Magen Avraham says, no, there's a good reason to distinguish between Tisha B'Av and all the other fasts. And this also gets to the distinction also between whether you can wash in cold water or not. The root of the reason why we fast on Tisha B'Av is different. So why can't you work on a regular fast day? Right? So the regular fast day, what's the issue? We want people to go to the Batei Knesiot and be involved in the day, right? We want them to go pray and be dealing with the fast. So we say you can't go to work that day, just so the people are free to do things. But Tisha B'Av, you can't go to work because we want you not to remove from your mind the idea of the Avelut. We want you to feel Avelut on that day. And the way to feel Avelut is to do certain actions that make you feel Avelut, or not to do things like go to work. If you go to work, right, it distracts your mind from it. Right? Like in the afternoon, people do work on Tisha B'Av, right? Some people in the mornings they don't, but in the afternoons they do already, right? And it's a good distraction, right? But we don't want that distraction. On Tisha B'Av, we want you to focus on the Avelut and feel the Avelut. And for that, we have Isur Melacha, and therefore we would also apply at night. But the issue of going to shul and praying, they did the prayers during the day. They didn't go at night to the shuls. For Arvit, you know, Arvit wasn't, that wasn't the main prayer of the fast. The prayer of the fast days were in the morning. So then they said it's Asur B'Malacha, so you don't go to work and you actually go to shul. But on Tisha B'Av, that's not the issue. The issue is that you think about the fast. So it's a nice distinction the Magen Avraham makes there. Okay, so now what's the issue? So when they say Asur B'Malacha lo amru bayom ela b'layla mutar. Ukishamru, ava b'layla mutar. Ukishamru asur benilata sandal, lo amru ela be'ir avabaderach mutar. Okay, when they talked about shoes, that only means you can't wear leather shoes in the city. But if you're walking far distances, you leave the city, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. Haketzad, yotze laderech, noel, nichnas la'ir choletz. Okay, that's what they would do. They would come into the, they would go out to the city, they would stick their shoes on, you carry your shoes with you, put them on as soon as you got out of the city. When you got back into the city, you take your shoes off right away. Ukishamru, you see here that the level of Isur is a little bit different than Tisha B'Av. And here's our issue. Ukishamru asur b'rechitza, lo amru ela kol gufo, ava panav yadav raglav mutar, b'chein ata motze, here's the key line, b'minuda ube'avel, just like a minuda and avel, you're allowed to wash panav yadav raglav. So now, what are they saying? What are they assuming? My lava kulu, isn't that line b'chein ata motze b'menuda u'ba'avel referring to all three things mentioned? There were three things mentioned here. There was the isur melacha, there was the shoes, right, and then there was the washing, the bathing. So now, when it says that all this applies, or let's say it this way, not all, it says and this applies also for an avel and a menuda, someone who's excommunicated. So if you say this applies, does it refer to all? And if it's referring also to the washing, which it seems like it is, what do they say? What type of water are they saying you can wash panav yadav raglav? Ilema bechamin panav yadav raglav misharu. Could you possibly allow them to wash your hands and your feet with hot water? V'hamar Rav Sheshet, doesn't Rav Sheshet say, aval asur lahoshit etzba'o bechamin. He can't put even his finger in hot water on a fast. So what do you say? El alav bitzonin. It must be mutar bitz. It must be that panav yadav raglav you're allowed to do bitzonin. If panav yadav raglav you're allowed to do bitzonin, what is it implied here? But you can't wash your whole body bitzonin. And therefore, what do you prove here? Against Rav Chista, the mutar bitzonin on taniot zibor, because this is talking about a taniot zibor. So what do they say? Lo. La'olam bechamin, no, it's referring to hot water. U'dekakash shelach, v'chein et hamotze b'menuta u'ba'avel, ash arakai. It's not referring, that line is only referring to the malach and the shoes and not referring to the washing. Okay? And therefore, in avel, sorry, I did read it right. Ha'amar v'sheshet, avel asur lehoshit etzba u'bechamin. It's the avel who can't put his finger in hot water. Okay? And therefore, in the end, they say, you can't use this as a, you know, we can answer up this contradiction. Tashma.
It's weird to say that, because otherwise they should have said that line before the Rechitza then.
What? What line?
About.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make sense in the context. Definitely agree. Okay. Tashma. Da'am Rabbi Abba Kohen Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Maseu Meitu Banav Shem Rabbi Yossi Ben Rabbi Chanina. Berachatz Betzonein Kol Shiva. Ah, what do you see? He washed in cold water. Here you have a perfect proof. Okay? And what do you see here? This is, right? This is even worse. This is, how can you say that the Avel is Asur Betzonein? It says, right? This is a question on, right? So we had, this is actually very organized. Chizuk, chizuk, right? We had a chizuk to the Tani, now and then a chizuk to the Tshabav. Then we had a koshi on the Tani, and now we have a koshi on the Tshabav and the Avil. How could he have washed Bitzon in Kol Shiva? So what are the answer? Hatam kishetechafuhu avelav hava. That's when he had avelut after avelut after avelut. What does it say? Meitu banav, right? You assumed when we first read it, all his sons died in one day. No, it means his one son died, then 7 days later another son died, then 7 days later another son died, and he was in Avelut for a very long period of time, and therefore they allowed him at least to be Rochetz Bitzonein. How long can you go without taking a shower? Ditanya, and here we have a bright to even prove that that would be okay. Techafu Avelav ze achar ze, hechbid sa'aro mekel betar, umechabes k'suto b'mayim. That they allow you certain things when that happens. Like if your hair is really bothering you, so you're allowed to cut your hair. If your clothes are really dirty, you're allowed to wash them in water. Amar Chista, and just here's a side point, Rav Chista said on this line, bitar, you can only use a razor, avaloba misparayim, but not in a traditional way, right? You can do it bishinoi, with a change. Bimayim, you can wash your clothes with water, but lo b'neter v'lo b'chol, not with soap. Amar Rava. Okay, now we get to Rava's opinion, okay? This was Rav Chista, who said, Tani utar b'tzonein tisha ba'av and avel asur b'tzonein. Now we're going to have a different opinion. Rava, Amar Rava, Avil mutar lechotz betzonein kol shivat, midi dehava abas rava chamra. Just like you can't eat, just like an Avil is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, right? If you notice, Tisha, right, the 9 days, we're not allowed to have wine and meat, but you're allowed to do that when you're an Avil, and therefore you're allowed to be rochetz betzonein. Okay, meitibei koshi ein haboger v'sha'al v'navel et atzma v'yimei evel aviha. Once a girl passes the age of like 12 and a half and she has sa'arot and she's already in the category of a bogeret, like she's an arach for about 6 months and then she becomes a bogeret. At that point, she's a marriageable age. If she's a marriageable age and she's in avelut, we don't allow her to make herself look disgusting. Because we want to, there's a big question about, is it a chiyuv on the woman that she has to look nice? Or is it just that if she doesn't want to make herself look disgusting, she's allowed to take care of herself? Ha-na'ara, but what do you learn from here? Only a bogeret, but a na'ara is risha'a l'navelet, that's not she can. So now, what's the l'navelet, that's not, what's the issue here? My love, is it not berichitza, right, where... We're not allowing an ara to shower. In other words, if you're a bogeret, you're allowed to shower. But if you're an ara, you wouldn't be allowed. Ubimai. And then what would be the issue? Bechamin, ein ha-bogeret resha'a, v'hamar Rav Chista, ve'el asur lo-hoshit etzbo bechamin. It can't be, first of all, before it said Rav Papa said, Rav Papa, Rav Shesh said, here it's in the name of Rav Chista, that ve'el asur lo-hoshit etzbo bechamin. It can't possibly be that you would say the bogeret is allowed to shower in hot water. Nobody would allow that. It must be that the elalad bitzone, the bogeret, is allowed to take a shower in cold water in order not to be minavel atzma. But a regular na'ara, or anybody else for that matter, wouldn't be allowed to wash bitzone at all. Okay, so then what do you see from here? That goes against Rava, who said they're allowed to wash bitzonein. This would imply that only a bogeret would be allowed to wash bitzonein, but a typical person wouldn't be. So how did they answer it? They say, no, you miss the point. This isn't talking about l'navelet, that's not, it doesn't mean that she's allowed to shower. It means akichu l'pirkus. It's about makeup. She's allowed to put makeup on, okay? Or they say maybe washing clothes, like things like that, okay? But... Not, or wait, is it washing clothes? Klal pirkus, v'lo kamaya bruchitza klal, pirkus b'se'ar, kibus b'begadim, bruchitza b'guf. Ah, pirkus is her hair. She's allowed to do up her hair, Rashi says, okay? But it doesn't have anything to do with washing, so don't try to prove from this anything. Okay, now we want to bring a proof for Rabbah. Lema Maseale, the Amar Rabbi Abba Kohen, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Akohen. Ah, here we go. Maseo Meitu Banavsh Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Verechatz Betzonein Kol Shiva. Here's your perfect proof. It says he was Rochetz while he was in Avel all 7 days. So what do you see from there, or during the 7 days? You see that you're allowed. But then they say, no, we can reject it based on how we answered it before, right? You can't prove from there. Why? Because Amar Hatam, Bishitachafu Avelav Zerachazet. That was a case where he had his sons die one after the other, and that's why, but not that you would normally be allowed. Did Tanya Tachafu, and here we're just going to quote what we said before. Tachafu Avelav Zerachazet, Bitzaro Mekel Batar, Mechabes Ksuto Bemayim. Amar Prista Batar, Avalobim Misparim. Here they add the oil. The oil was a substance. We learned about this in Shabbat. It was also a cleaning substance. Okay, that's the first version of Rava. Now, we'll go on just a little further today. Ika de Amre, there were some who say that Amar Rava Avel Asur Bitzonen Kol Shiva. He agrees with Rav Chisda that an Avel can't, okay? And then we have a whole different... Right? If Rava says something, until now we have Rava, right? And then we had a question on him, and then we had a proof for him, right? Now there's obviously going to be a whole different mahalach. If he says the opposite thing, we're going to have a different mahalach. And then they say, Avel Asur Betzonein Kol Shiva. And then they ask him, Mai Shnami Basar V'Yayin? Why is it different from Basar and Yayin? That Basar and Yayin is allowed to an Avel, but Rechitza Betzonein isn't allowed. So they say, Hakam Lepechuche Pachtei Hu David. We allow him to do it to kind of get over his fears, and we allow him to therefore drink some wine or eat some meat to make him feel a little bit better. But it's not the same as showering. Lema Maseele. And now instead of bringing this Bulgarian as a proof, as a contradiction, right, we're going to bring her as a proof. Ein ha-Bulgarian Risha'a Menavel Atzma. Ha-Na'ara Risha'a. Right? Must be the Na'ara can. Meaning, she can't make herself disgusting and not do what we think she can't do. B'mai, ilema b'chamim in a bogeret v'sha'a. Right? If you're talking about hot water, what, the bogeret is allowed to wash in hot water? Can't possibly be. Ha'amar v'chista, ve'ala sur lo shidetz bo b'chamim. Elala b'tzonin. It must be cold. And what do you see? That, here you see, they can't wash b'tzonin. So it proves that Rabbi said you can't wash b'tzonin. And then they say, lo, akil chul pirchus. Okay? It's talking about other stuff and not washing. And then, last few lines, Amar Rav Chisda Zot Omer. Now we're going to have a proof, something we learn from here. Since it doesn't connect with Rav Chisda before, he's just saying. From here we can learn that Avel Asur B'Tichboset Kol Shiva. If she's allowed to wash her clothes up and make herself look better, right? What do we learn from there? That a regular Avel is not allowed to do that kind of stuff. V'Hilchata, now we finally get to the Halacha, the right, which usually we don't have in the Gemara, but we had this diyun about Rav Chisda said Tisha B'Av Asur B'Tzonein and Tani Mutar B'Tzonein, and we have Rava who had two different versions of Rava, whether the Avel is Asur or Mutar B'Tzonein. V'Hilchata Avel Asur L'Chot Kol Gufo Bein B'Chamin Bein B'Tzonein Kol Shiva Aval Panav Yadav Raglav B'Chamin Asur B'Tzonein Mutar Aval Lasuch Afilu Kol Shehu Asur V'im La'aver Tazuama Mutar. Okay, so now we have the halacha. An avel can't wash cold water, hot water. Only his face, his hands, and his feet is allowed to wash with cold water and not with hot water. But any type of sicha, right, creams, ointments rubbing on, he's not allowed unless it's to take off dirt, like mamash dirt that's on his body. He can use it for that. Okay, that's the end. Next, what we're going to start with tomorrow, which the end part of this daf is much more simple, is when you say aneinu in your fast, or what you say, and do you say a separate bracha, is it part of a bracha, how does it work? Okay, we're going to get into that tomorrow. We're going to start with that.